Hello and welcome back. As always, even though we're under the banner Two Guys Gaming, this is one guy reading Dragons of Destiny, the new book by Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman from the Dragonlance series. This is Noob's Book Club, Episode 6. In Episode 6, we're covering Chapter 8. As I've been doing, I will give you a synopsis of the chapter, and then afterwards I will give you some of my thoughts about the chapter. If you end up reading along with me, or if you read it before and you stumble upon the podcast, let me know what you think. And I will try to get back to you, and hopefully we can get some sort of dialogue going on. Okay, without further ado, here comes Chapter 8. Destina obviously still mourns her father, but she also bears the title of the castle well. To ensure her continued reign, she asked for a copy of her father's will. She knew that there was a copy, most likely with her father's lawyer, and she searches for it so that nothing can pop up and interrupt her and take her. Instead, she receives the bad news that her father's lawyer was murdered by the goblins in the attack, and his house was burned down, and the will and all the other legal documents were damaged. Nevertheless, her status as lady most likely holds, as her uncle won't challenge it. He is dying and also has bigger things to worry about. During a conversation, Destina's mother asks her to deal with her grief. Destina, as she's been doing, lashes out that it is all she has left of her father, and she wants to cling to it. Atiendo, for her part, lets it go and responds by going out into the village and using her cleric powers to help the village with the blight and the disease that has been going on. She heals wounded animals. She's actually able to heal the crops of blight and that sort of thing. So she goes out and she refocuses her energy away from her daughter for now, because clearly she knows that her daughter needs some time, to use her energy to get over this before she's open to any other suggestion. Destina spends some time with her future in-laws. They suggest that she put the castle in the care of a steward. This gives her a chance to feed her grief, because again, why would she give the power to a steward? This was her father's castle. This is a part of her. This is a part of her father is still in this castle, in this title. And this allows her to take what they said and put that into her grief and say, you know what? No, I am not giving this up. This is mine. My father gave this to me. I need this. I need him in my life right now. In the background, the War of the Lance ends, and later, the Blue Dragon High Lord is killed. Closer to home, Destina's uncle passes, and she receives a crown with the news. Her cousin's wife didn't want the crown. She hated it, so she almost sent it to Destina out of spite, was how I interpreted it. And Destina, because she's headstrong, stubborn, whatever you want to call her, she says, well, now the crown is mine. She gave it to me. She may not have liked it, but you know what? I think it's great. I think I'll wear it. And I think I will make it a part of who I am. You know, again, taking that anger. I said before that she was kind of moving through these stages pretty quickly, but it seems like now she's stuck in anger and she's going to be stuck here for a while. And this crown is just a part of it. When she shows her mother, this leads to a conversation, which again breaks into another argument. I mentioned last time that Destina has been lashing out against her mother, which makes sense because she's angry, as I said, but she's kind of stuck in this anger, and her mother's right. She needs to, if not move on, then at least start to deal with this grief and at least start to move on from it, at least. Her mother brings up the omen because it mentioned three things. The crown was the last thing. The two things have already come to pass, so she is fearful for her daughter and what ill omen the crown might bring. They argue. Destina, you know, leaves in anger. And I have a feeling this is kind of editorial, which isn't the editorial part yet, but this is kind of editorial on my part. I have a feeling that at some point, one of these arguments is going to break out. Destina is going to leave and her mother is going to pass on, and she's going to have to deal with that as well, where it's like, well, I was grieving my father. I was angry. Now my mother passed and now I have to grieve her. But how do I do this and not allow the anger to consume me? Or maybe she'll just allow the anger to consume her. Weis and Hickman aren't afraid to write a good villain either. So maybe that's what happens, is that the anger just consumes her and she ends up using that to fuel her further on. The chapter closes with the aforementioned death of the High Lord and a report that their home in Palanthas was destroyed. Tragedy abounds in this chapter for poor Destina. So again, now that I think about it and now that I look at it, it feels like they're setting us up for maybe a turn to the quote-unquote dark side. I've been using Star Wars as an example for a lot of these things because it's sort of the closest analog that I have right now. And maybe that's what will happen here, is that we'll see Destina succumb to her anger and her negative thoughts, and she will become a villain instead of the hero that I thought she might be initially. Because overall, man, this chapter just hammers home that when it rains, it pours. On top of her father's death, she deals with so much in this chapter. It's funny, though, because I never realized until I sat down to write this summary that I went from damning her as a moody teenager, which she partly is, but then I felt sorry for her. Hell, I even started to gain respect for her because she's pushing through these things and she's still maintaining most of her goodness, even if these outbursts are happening, and perhaps it's portending something down the road for her to turn. Also, Weiss and Hickman put to bed my fears of a full requel of the War of the Lands. I mentioned last time that the one thing that bothers me is that they're trying to exploit, it feels like, and or force nostalgia on us. While they played on that a little bit in the last chapter, and a little bit this one with the name drops, they mentioned Lorana as well in this one, they fixed it with that one simple sentence. The conflict, known as the War of the Lands, ended ... I don't remember exactly what the sentence was, but that's all. That's the only mention of the War of the Lands coming to an end. That's all that it was in this book so far, is that it happened in the background, and it killed Destina's father. And that's all it has been so far. It's not been a retelling. It hasn't been her going off and fighting in these battles with these people that we knew, or next to these people that we knew in the background while they mentioned these other people. It was just like, this happened, it's over, we're moving on. So it doesn't feel like there's going to be a ton of that forced nostalgia that I mentioned when they do these requel things. And then at the end, they wrapped up some of the Aftershock skirmishes, like the blue dragon High Lord being killed. That happened all in the background too, and it was just mentioned to us through a messenger that we heard about after the fact. Looking closer at the cover, it looks like Destina meets up at some point with Taz and Flint. It makes sense, since Taz has the time-traveling device. So, I can live with them in the book. Besides, Taz and Flint are like R2 and 3PO of Dragonlance. If a crazy adventure happens and they aren't involved, did it actually happen? Some people will argue that R2-D2 and C-3PO are the real heroes of Star Wars because they end up being in all of the movies and all of a lot of the side material. They end up popping up. And that happens a lot with Taz and Flint, as we all know. So I expected this chapter to involve more research by Destina about the device. They only mentioned it in passing to say that she put it out of her mind and shelved the book to give herself room to tend to the affairs of the castle and the village. I also thought that it could be more along how it started, where it's just her learning how to be the lady of the house, and then maybe something happens that pushes her into looking more into the device or reminding her of the device. You know, one of those deus ex machina that I mentioned a couple of days ago or a couple episodes ago. You know, maybe it would be both. And perhaps that's why I never made it as a writer, because if it were up to me, I would have put all of this into the chapter. I would have front-loaded it all, and maybe that wouldn't have worked the way that Weiss and Hickman is doing it. That will probably work better because, as we mentioned, they're successful authors, and I very much am not. I just saw a post from my Facebook the other day where a couple years ago, I got a tax check from Amazon because I made $11.54 selling one of my books. Woohoo! Anyhow, that's neither here nor there. Instead, as mentioned, we get tragedy after tragedy, and you wonder how much this girl can take before she breaks. That's all. Also why I'm thinking that we might get a turn at some point where she ends up going... I keep pausing there because I don't want to say evil necessarily, although I'm sure that's what it is. Like, Raistlin was evil in no question towards the end there. Sure, he turned around and he had his little moment where he had his Darth Vader moment where he... Or did he? Maybe he didn't. I don't know. But anyhow, Raistlin was evil at the end there. And Destina very well could be evil. But for some reason, I keep pausing when I say evil. And I don't know why. I've used words like the dark side and I've said turn. And then I just kind of stopped last time. But I'm not sure why I'm so against using the word evil right now. Maybe we'll explore that in a future chapter if it actually happens. In spite of my erroneous instincts, I like what they did with this chapter. It leaves you wanting more and wondering how she ends up searching for the device after all. Just writing this now makes me want to read 9 and 10 to get through it and know what happens and spoil myself. I'm the kind of person who does spoil myself for literature and TV shows and movies as much as I can. I like to know what's going on going in. I always say that if you can't enjoy something after being spoiled, then perhaps it wasn't that entertaining to begin with, but now's not the time for that lecture. Also, I need something to keep me busy during soccer this week, so I'll hold off and I will read them most likely tomorrow, at least 9, possibly 10 as well, and take notes, and then we can record over the week and release them and maybe get back on schedule for this. As always, I hope you guys are enjoying. If you're reading along, come find us, twoguysgaming.net. That's where our Facebook is, that's where our Instagram is, that's where our Twitter is. We're not very active on YouTube, but I mentioned hopefully soon in March we can get there. We're on Twitch as well, but not very active there. All of those places I generally put in Noob and Blonde. Me, Noob of All Trades, Blonde, who is the silent partner in the background for right now. But go there, get all of our information, let me know what you're thinking about the series, let me know what you're thinking about the book, and I will get 9 and 10 read, recorded, and updated as soon as possible, hopefully by the end of the week. Talk to you then, guys. Bye.
We are...